morning and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 12th in the year of our Lord 2024. Collect of the day, Monday after the last Sunday of Epiphany, Transfiguration or Quinquagesima. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross, and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Just like in Friday's podcast, I'm sipping on a vanilla creme brulee, a lovely warm vanilla from Target. Very nice. It's nice to have a different coffee doing this. It was actually kind of like one of the original ideas when I was sort of germinating the idea of this podcast, is to have a lot, you know, different specialty coffees they talk about. And well, I'm not a coffee connoisseur, so it's mostly about me just mentioning what I'm drinking and then moving on to talking about the catechism like I should. So here we are. Question 216. What are angels? Angels are rational, spiritual beings created by God. God's holy angels joyfully serve him in heavenly worship, and God appoints them to act as messengers, bringing words of guidance and assurance to the faithful and assisting and protecting them. So what are angels? Angels are rational, spiritual beings created by God. God's holy angels joyfully serve him in heavenly worship, and God appoints them to act as messengers, bringing words of guidance and assurance to the faithful, and assisting and protecting them. All right, so let's go through the scriptural references. First is the book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse 21 to 31. So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down and fell on his face. Next is Psalm 148, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. Next is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The next is from Luke chapter 1, verse 19, and then verses 26 to 33. Verse 19. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Verse 26 to 33. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The next is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in his cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, Get up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, Dress yourself and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. But he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. The next is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. Of the angels, he says, He makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has appointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up, like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. To which of the angels has he ever said, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And the final scriptural reference is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, what 216. What are angels? What are these blessed things called angels? What are we talking about? Angels are rational spiritual beings created by God. So there's the important distinction, as Hebrews points out. They're created. God the Son is begotten, right? He is given the scepter of a power and authority and rule, right? As angels are assistants are, it's sort of demeaning sounding. You know, ministering messengers, those who bring aid, in the section of Numbers and Balaam, carry a sword. Call these angels, joyfully serve him in heavenly worship, and a God appoints them to act as messengers, bringing words of guidance and assurance to the faithful and assisting and protecting them. So let's turn to Numbers, that with Balaam. There's so much in this, just so much in this. Because the donkey and Balaam are sort of a comparison. Part of the thing in seeing this is to realize the donkey doesn't know that the man can't see the angel, which I think is an important part of this, because the donkey is doing its level best to protect his master. And while there's a sword drawn, Balaam threatens the donkey with a sword, whereas the real sword belongs to the angel. So you have all these, you know, sort of overlapping images. And at the end, Balaam lays down like the donkey, knowing that he is the servant of his master. Now, we can go on more about Balaam later. You know, there's more to Balaam than that. But in this particular instance, he realizes he's being, he's not as bright as the donkey. there's an interesting thought there, realizing you're smarter than the ass that sits underneath you. The donkey's brighter than him. So, it's just hysterical. I'm sorry, as I was reading it, it's almost comical in that sense. So I'm going to turn to Gregory the Dialogist, one of the Pope Gregory the Great. So here's Gregory. The spirit which is carried out of itself to pride is made to remember the condition to which it is subject, owing to the ills of the flesh which it bears. This was rightly indicated through Balaam, if only he had been willing to follow obediently the voice of God, in that his journey was retarded. For we see Balaam on the way to attain his purpose, but the beast under him thwarts his attention. The ass, stopped by a command, perceives an angel not seen by the man of the mind of the man. For commonly the flesh, retarded by affliction, manifest to the mind the God whom the mind itself did not see, though it dominates the flesh owing to the scourgings it receives. Here ends the reading. So Gregory is making the observation that human flesh, if viewed like the ass, teaches the mind something because of the affliction that it has received. The mind, not perceiving God, still ends up receiving instruction from the flesh because of the pain the flesh is enduring. If you would learn to listen to when there's pain, And it was, I probably spent 20 minutes or more pondering this after I listened, because you sometimes, I think I've heard it expressed in other places, but this is so succinct. You know, this comparing of the ass being stopped by the angel, comparable to the body being stopped by pain, teaching the mind something, teaching the spirit, our own spirit, something that the mind is not perceiving because the body is receiving pain because it's doing something it shouldn't be doing. So pain and discipline sometimes go together. Correction. But I guess I could start talking about discipline, but that's not really what the point of this question is. This is talking about angels. So the angel is the one with the sword. Balaam says, "I wish if I had my sword, I'd kill you." And I'm thinking, you know, the ass is thinking, "Well, that guy up there's got a sword. He could kill us both, and I'm trying to get us and save us both from being killed by this sword." And the angel is really merciful in the way that it keeps changing its position to eventually a spot where, you know, the donkey can't get past. The donkey is trying to weave its way between what its master wants, who's riding him, and the angel that's in, you know, keeping him from doing it. The ass is trying to find a way, right? The donkey is trying to find a way through, and eventually the angel completely impedes him, at which point the man's eyes are opened. I guess you could interpret that in that same sort of spiritual way. It's a realization of, you know, the aha moment. Your eyes are opened. You see a truth which you didn't understand before. And this turns to angels, right? The angels are ministers of God sent for words of encouragement and correction. Let me requote the catechism, so I'm not getting, bring words of guidance and assurance to the faithful, assisting and protecting them. As we look at in Luke, which is the angel coming to Mary to announce, to tell her you're about to be pregnant. You didn't know it. Which is, I suppose, I'm tempted to get into that more broadly, but I'm going to try to resist that and stick with Gabriel bringing news, right? He's telling her what's going to happen so that she knows and understands. There's also Joseph being told in a vision, in a dream, right, to not put Mary away. And they both live with this for the rest of their lives. In fact, it's, you know, it's an insult hurled at Jesus, you know, sort of the questionable, you know, who's Jesus's father, right? That's hurled at him. That's an insult to him. But we know, Mary knew, Jesus knew, Joseph knew, we know that God imparted the Son into Mary, right? Was incarnated the fully God and fully man. So then the angel helps Peter escape. It's quite the dramatic thing. Get up quickly, and dress yourself, put on your sandals. It wasn't like, you know, run. It was get up, get dressed, and put on your sandals, you know, which would have taken, you know, a couple minutes to do that. So it wasn't, you know, immediately wake and run. It was wake up, put your clothes on, put your shoes on, let's go. And they, you know, expeditiously left. But here's this angel guiding him out. And of course, then in Hebrews, I already talked about Hebrews, where, you know, compares angels to Jesus. And then we end on the note of showing hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Most importantly, of course, Abraham hosting the three strangers. You know, angels are there to help us, guide us, correct us. We're supposed to be on the same team. We're supposed to be on the same team. I'm sure angels sometimes look at us and wonder why on earth we would do some of the things we do. Puzzled, you know, do you not know the Lord? Do you not know the greatness of the Lord? And I guess we probably don't know as we should. Otherwise we wouldn't turn away or be mealy-mouthed or lukewarm at times. One can't help but feel a sense of what sensing one's own weakness, as one should have stepped up at times previous in one's life, been a little more stout-hearted in the face of challenges. But ministers, they're sent as ministering angels. They lift us up. And we don't know the full course of our life. We don't know the full impact of our lives. Can you imagine a man who was used to run a slaveholding ship and was the most cruel of men, ends up being the author of the author of Amazing Grace, right? This is a guy who used to run a slave ship and now is, you know, that hymn, Amazing Grace, you know, it can bring us to tears sometimes still, right? Hundreds of years after his life and death, that hymn carries on the work that was done in that man's life. Change his heart from a cruel slave owner, brutal, to a man who wrote one of the sweetest hymns. I mean, you don't know what your life will lay out for you and what your death will lay out, what the work of your hands might do or not do over the course of time. We're not given eyes to see all of that. In part, I'm waxing a bit poetical because my own father is very gravely ill, stage 4 brain cancer. And doing radiation treatments, but you know, he's 81 years old, and the strength isn't what it used to be able to stand up to those things. You know, he's not 70 or 60 or 50, he's 80. His body's doesn't have the strength it once did. You know, what will his legacy be? Which then, of course, makes me think, what will my own legacy be? What have I done? What ministry have I done? What ministry have any of us done? But we are given the ministry of reconciliation, right? Be reconciled unto God, Paul says. And we have help. We have help. There are angels who help us unawares. We do not know how they're working, but know that you have help on your side. We must know we have help on our side. We have the living God. We should be on his side, I think is the right way to say it, but we should be on God's side, and then we'll have the assistance of angels. Because they're there, and scripture tells us they're there, and we should operate assuming there's assistance. Being bold in the face of whatever it is. So, all right, I've waxed long enough on that, but there's angels. They're real. Just like Satan is real, angels are real. So, I think that wraps it up. Feedback, amateuranglican at gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you if you've found this podcast helpful. If you have some, you know, helpful criticisms, let's see, is that all the things I'm supposed to say? I believe it is. So I will close it out with a collect for renewal of life on a Monday. O God, the King Eternal, whose light divides the day from the night and turns the shadow of death into the morning, drive far from us all wrong desires, incline our hearts to keep your law, and guide our feet into the way of peace, that having done your will with cheerfulness during the day, we may, when night comes, rejoice to give you thanks. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.